TPN, welcome back to the Pilot Network podcast. I'm Matt, co-host of the show. And today we've got Mark from Cockpit to Cockpit back on the show, ex-Viper driver and current major airline pilot, and also obviously the author of the Cockpit to Cockpit book and various informational resources there. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so good to have you back. I know you've been on a little bit of leave and working hard over the last year or so, but tell us a little bit about where Cockpit to Cockpit is and what you've been up to.
You know, I wish I was here today to talk about better things in the airline industry, because, you know, Cockpit to Cockpit was written with a very positive looking forward point of view about how great things were in the industry. Well, that's just not where reality took us. And unfortunately, you know, obviously it's had impact on my business, less pilot hiring demands. Understand that people are just not as interested in reading about getting hired at the airlines, but I want to talk today about some mitigation strategy to be able to get through these bad times, because there will be better times ahead.
Well, and I think Cockpit to Cockpit talks about all the things that you should be thinking about 10 years prior to looking for an airline job, and kind of how that it intersects with maybe a military career at the same time, or, you know, is tacked on to the end of it after retirement. So I actually think it's aptly timed. You know, if you've been doing all these things the whole time and really focusing on that transition path and looking ahead, then it should be no surprise that the airline industry comes in waves. You know, sometimes it's good and sometimes not so good. So obviously, right now it turned not so good very, very quickly, much faster than I think any of us could have expected. But what are some of the things that you think that people can do to prepare themselves now, seeing as where we are at the moment, staring down the barrel of a bunch of furloughs? But also, what are some things that, you know, if they're safe for the moment or time being, that they can be looking at, you know, for a year from now, 5 years from now, even looking at a longer term horizon?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I think just like investing, people talk about it's never too late, right? Like, so if you didn't save for your retirement until you didn't start saving for your retirement until you're 55, well, okay, yeah, you're late and you're behind the power curve. But is it better to just say, throw up your hands and say, well, no point in investing now? Or is it like, okay, well, I got to double down to catch up? Right. And this is kind of the same scenario. So if you hadn't been preparing for an industry downturn, yeah, you're behind the power curve, but let's just talk about a couple things, because it's better late than never to get started. And the first one is really just pretty simple, and it's create a budget, right? It's like learn to live within your means. Jason Depew, also a staff writer for TPN, has a great book out there called Pilot Math Treasure Bath, where he talks a lot about ways to save money. And then take that extra money and sock it away for a rainy day. Well, it's pouring right now.
And one of the things he talks about in sound financial management, we've talked about it on the show before too, is, you know, if you upgrade to the left seat, don't instantly upgrade your life to left seat income also. Give it a little bit, save some cushion for sure.
Absolutely. If you can live on an FO budget, and you don't have to live on a, you know, second year FO budget or a third year FO budget. If you're a senior FO, you know, you could probably be okay living on a senior FO budget. But I released an article recently along the same lines, how to weather industry downturns. And one of the things I've always recommended is line guarantee budget. So at my airline, for instance, you know, you can usually do a lot better month to month than what the line guarantee is. And I've gotten quite used to making 110 hours a month, 115, 120. But if I live to an 80 hour a month budget, I'm going to be good, you know, if I save that money and don't blow it on toys and things.
Sure, absolutely. Well, so before we go on, you know, obviously some of our listeners are not seasoned airline pilots yet and haven't quite achieved that success level. So, or perceived success level, I suppose it could be seen. Can you just explain what line guarantee means for those who are aspiring to join a major airline?
Sure. Yeah. Line guarantee is basically your airline's contract that says, no matter how much we don't fly you per se, we're at least going to guarantee you a pay amount equal to your pay rate for however many hours for that month. So some airlines it's 72 hours, some airlines it's 80, with ours it's like 85 to 87, depending on how many days in the month. But whatever it is, that's your minimum you're going to make for that month, even if they don't fly you. You could sit on reserve and never get called the whole month, and you're still going to get paid that. So if you can live on that budget, that's a good thing.
So another thing, it's kind of a min contractual, like a base pay, and then everything above that, if you work more, you're making more money, essentially picking up
more time. Exactly. Yeah, this is a little different than what we're used to in the military, where we get the same paycheck every month.
Right. Because I think people forget that airline pilots and flight attendants, for that matter, are hourly employees. Really, we're not salary employees.
So. That's correct. So our month-to-month budget fluctuates, or not budget, but our income fluctuates based on how much or how little we work.
Sure.
Another piece of advice I'd give is, in good times, we all like to start socking money away into our retirement, 401ks, things like that. But if you think you're facing furlough, well, that's a great place to store some cash instead of putting it into less liquid things like 401ks. Start putting that stuff into just a bank account that earns a decent interest, hopefully. Sure. But you might need a store of cash, and they say 3 to 6 months is what standard investing advice is. Well, for a furlough, it's probably going to last longer than 3 to 6 months. You're probably looking at a year minimum, maybe more. So, that kind of leads us into the next discussion. We've talked up to this point about what can we do prior to bad times. Well, now we're here. Right. I mean, furloughs are supposed to start on October 1st, less than a month away. So let's talk about what we can do now that it's okay. Yeah, we can try to save some money, but how do we handle furloughs? How do we get through this as airline pilots?
Sure. So just historically, obviously we've been here before, right? So 9/11 created a situation that caused a lot of furloughs, and then there were some before that even. Is this the first time that you've been in the industry and experienced this, or were you here previously as well?
No, I came in when times were good. Got hired at the airlines in 2015, and it's been awesome up to this point. And then all of a sudden this coronavirus comes out of nowhere. And, we all thought, man, nothing can touch us now. We're just totally untouchable. And then boom, this thing happens and it comes out of nowhere. I'll start by being a little optimistic and say that I see some signs that this recovery probably is going to happen a little faster than I think the 2008-2009 recession, for instance, did. And it's all based on passenger confidence and passenger demand. So what's going to improve that? Well, one thing is people tend to just get used to, I hate to use the term because just nails on a chalkboard to me, but new normal, right? Already we're seeing this. So there's not even a vaccine out yet, and already passenger demand is up well above where it was back in March and April. So for instance, the TSA passenger count for Labor Day weekend was the highest they'd seen since this began in March. So that's optimistic.
And most of the major airlines, and I assume a lot of the regionals, are doing a great job of really making that as safe an environment as humanly possible. I mean, with all the preventative measures and enhanced cleaning and many airlines blocking middle seats and those sorts of the mask mandates, I think really, in my opinion, they're doing a great job of helping that pastor confidence a little bit, I think.
Yeah, they really are. I think they could do a little bit better on the PR side of that, of getting the word out, of, you know, other than just using their websites and maybe a few TV commercials. I think they should be doing some, you know, Sunday talk shows and that kind of thing to really put out a campaign to let people know how safe it is. But you're correct. They're doing everything they can and doing it well. And then the other part of that is, I think once we get a vaccine in place, we'll see a big surge in passenger confidence and demand come back. And as we know, those trials are going very well. Some of them are near production with the final phase of human testing and things like that. Would have ever thought we'd be talking about things like this. But.
So, thinking optimistically, as you're saying, things are going to come back quickly. What are some things that pilots should be doing right now? Say, there's two categories: those that are currently airline pilots, concerned and vulnerable to a furlough, and those that maybe have not gotten there yet and are somewhere else in the system, in the pipeline, whether that's on active duty or you know, still doing some Part 135, Part 91 flying, something like that. What are some recommendations you have for people right here, right now in that scenario?
Yeah, because here it is, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do, right? So I see there's three categories of pilots. This is the way I kind of break it down. You've got the airline hopefuls who are not yet at an airline, but were working their way towards it. You've got your pilots who are at an airline and facing furlough, but they either already wanted to switch to a different airline and move up to the next level, i.e. a regional pilot wanting to make it onto a major airline, or perhaps this furlough scenario has left a bad taste in their mouth and they were already kind of not sure about the company they were with and saying, I'm not sure if this is really the company for me. So coming out of this, they might consider going to a different airline. And then the third category is those who are at their final destination and want to stay there, but now they're facing a furlough. So let's talk about those three scenarios. Of those three, I think the third one is really the best and easiest one to handle. And that is the person who's already where they want to be and they just want to get through this furlough and then get back with their company. The reason I say that is because they don't have to reapply. They're already hired. They're just going to get put on the sideline for a while. Therefore, they don't need recency of flying experience to come back. So they can literally go do any job under the sun, be an Uber driver or whatever they need to do to put food on the table. Right. I have better suggestions for them.
The Walmart greeter is not high on your list. Yeah.
Yes. But my point being, that they're in a better scenario because they can take a non-flying job and be okay with that. And while I'm on that subject, let me just talk about some suggestions here. If it's somebody who recently got out of the military, a lot of people don't realize the value of a security clearance. If you still have an active and current top secret or secret security clearance, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of GS, government service jobs, or defense contracting jobs who are looking for you. And they will hire you in a second, and they're all over the country. You probably don't even have to leave the city that you're in. Short of that, I would recommend doing some stuff that builds your credentials a little bit in case of future furloughs or having to go to another airline. If you don't have that advanced degree, man, now might be a great time to go get that advanced degree if you can afford to take some time off. GI Bill helps a lot with things like that. Or maybe you already have an advanced degree and you could go teach somewhere in a university or even a high school. All these things are options. If you're a finance accounting geek, you can go do taxes. If you're an engineer, go put that to work for you. There's tons of jobs out there, even though it seems like a horrible job market. It's just that the job markets have shifted in terms of who's hiring, but there are jobs available and you just kind of have to be a little more creative. The other thing I'd say is this is really tough as military people or airline pilots to not be afraid to take advantage of the safety nets that are out there. file for unemployment. You know what? If you get furloughed, you're unemployed. And that may vary from state to state based on rules as far as what they'll do, but that money is there intended to get you through this. So, you know, it's a hard to suck up that pride, but you do what you have to do for your family, right? All right, so that's the best case scenario. That's the pilot who doesn't need to go get a flying job. Now, those people can still do what I'm about to recommend for the other two categories and go get a flying job if they want to. So the other two categories are the airline hopefuls and the I want to move up or move to a different airline. Now you kind of need to be concerned about your flying recency. So a flying job would be best in those scenarios. If you're active duty or you're already have a guard reserve job and in a flying position, man, you're set. if you can get one that has orders for you and enough days for you to stay on.
Well, that's always the hard part, right? It never seems like there's orders when you need them. But or there's too much when you don't. It's kind of funny how the sine wave goes completely asymmetric to what you might think.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, that's a best case scenario. If you're active duty and you were looking at getting out and you probably already thought about this, maybe you take another assignment. Maybe even if you're getting close, you consider staying to 20 and getting that retirement, because the check of the month club is really nice in scenarios like this. I mean, if those of us that are in the check of the month club, fully retired, get furloughed, at least we have that income coming in the door. So that's a good option in that scenario. But I mean, you know a little bit better about going and getting a part-time job since you're a part-time reservist.
Right. So, and that always depends. Like, there's so many units out there that are looking for people all the time. And so on TPN, we have a lot of units that say they're holding hiring boards and they're looking for current qualified, they're looking for off the street. It really just depends, because guard and reserve units have to think long term as well. You know, they can't have all old experienced instructor pilots on their books. They have to have some new, you know, off the street co-pilots. They're backfilling the pipeline, because you know, you're going to attrition, losing people off the top of the seniority list, just like the airline. So there's a constant pipeline there that still has to be fed. Now, obviously, supply and demand, like you're talking about, if the airlines are hiring, people are moving from the guard and reserve and the active duty, and they're looking for that better life, maybe, perhaps, depending on what your goals are. And then all of a sudden that shifts. You know, you can't find an AGR or a technician job because everyone is flowing back the other way. So it really just depends on timing on a lot of these things. And that's why I think just as you're saying, it's good to think ahead. You know, try to be proactive, not reactive. Unfortunately, that doesn't help us a lot at the moment, but you can still, you know, when's the best time to start retirement investing? It's yesterday. The next best time is right now, today. So,
yeah, I agree. So that leaves us with our last category, and that is somebody who maybe the guard reserve thing either is not an option or they're having a hard time finding an open position. So what other flying jobs are available out there? Well, the cargo carriers have not been affected by, or at least not as much, and in some cases are doing better now because boxes are, the people are ordering things online in higher demand. Yes, there are a ton of other pilots vying for those same jobs, but maybe you might need to look down a notch instead of looking at the gold standard of cargo, the FedExes and the UPSs. Take a look at Atlas. Take a look at Kalita. You know, there are Southern Air. You know, there's a number of lesser known cargo carriers who are hiring, and somebody like a military pilot with a really nice flying resume would be very attractive to them. Now, the hard part of that is if you're furloughed, they're going to see that on your resume. You know, they're going to see that in an interview and they're going to ask you, well, you know, as soon as they start hiring again, are you going to leave us? And now you've got to kind of talk tactfully and be humble, you know, because they know why you're there. So that's not the easiest thing to do.
And have a great reason why, you know, all of a sudden you're coming back and looking for a job. It's not make sure that they know it's because you want to work hard and take care of your family, yes. and not just when times are bad, all of a sudden take
whatever. And I think a lot of pilots are in a situation where they could honestly go into an interview and sit down and say, well, you know, this furlough thing at the passenger thing, I don't think this pandemic's going away anytime soon. And, you know, this is a much more stable thing for me and my family. So that's an option. Some of the other stuff I've seen out there advertised, AeroCrew News is a good source where you see a lot of job openings posted. The U.S. Customs and Border Patrol has been hiring. I've seen a few threads about, yeah, they got some weird requirements, but it's not a, they don't require a commitment, i.e. you're not signing a contract to stay there, you know, 5 or 10 years. So that's an option. If you are in a situation where you either are single or your family doesn't mind you going to deploy a little bit to make some good money, there's a Spartan Aviation out there where you have an opportunity to go train foreign pilots to fly in various countries that their starting pay is like $300,000 a year, somewhere in that ballpark. And you're 2 months deployed and 1 month back home, and it just rotates like that. I mean, not great, but it's great money and it's flying currency. And then the last category I'll say, you know, I think our pride prevents a lot of people from doing this, but I myself did this between the Air Force and the airlines, is to suck up some of those entry level flying jobs, CFII, go teach some general aviation. I myself took a flying job, flying doctors around in a Beechcraft Bonanza, where they had clinics all over the state, and I just fly them around to various places. Was it way beneath flying an F-16? Yeah. Is it something that gave me additional aviation experience and a great interview story? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I saw the interviewer's eyes light up when I gave that story, because they're like, here's a guy who's totally humble, who has a great work ethic, and is willing to do what it takes to take care of his family.
Right. And there's also something to be said for a different type of flying. You know, flying fighters or, you know, military transport, air fueling, what have you, that's totally different than general aviation flying. Your line F-16 IP is not just going to go jump in a Bonanza or a Cessna 172 and be the same kind of instructor. There's a whole different set of muscles and education level that is really important to pay attention to. And maybe that's a muscle that you want to flex and kind of bring back from, you know, 10 years prior or something like that, and focus on and open up a new opportunity or a new set of self-improvement skills that you didn't have before.
Right. So, you know, just like I talk about in the book, Cockpit to Cockpit, getting a job is a full-time job. It's a pride swallowing, out there every day, beating the pavement, working on it every day, trying to move the ball a little further towards the goal line, doing what you have to do. And it's that kind of industry. Now, that being said, I do think that this massive downturn in the economy is going to cause some pilots to walk away and never come back. And that's okay. That's a personal decision. And that'll work to the advantage of those who are trying to get to the airlines. There'll be less competition on the backside. But some people may look at the instability of this industry and decide, you know what, maybe this isn't for me and my family. And that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's pretty much my survival strategies. There are others. Jason Depew for TPN has a really good article out there called Fill in the Camel Hump that has some really detailed information in there. So I hope our readers or our listeners can try to look at this through a positive paradigm and say that if they love to fly and this is what they want to do, this is temporary and we'll all get through this and we take care of each other.
And that's the thing, is if you can shift your mindset from this is a tragedy, this is the end of the world, to this is an opportunity to have the time to focus on something else that I maybe didn't have time to focus on as I was 4 days on the road, 3 days at home, and just a revolving door and a, you know, an unfocused schedule. now you have some time to explore some things like an education, a higher education, or maybe a different kind of job. Or, you know, here at TPM, we celebrate entrepreneurship. And both you and I are huge fans of that. And I think it's one of those things where maybe this is an opportunity to try your hand at something like that and use some of those skills and build an education course or a small business, or join another founder as they're trying to build something there too. So I always try to think of it optimistically and see, okay, if I can't do X, let's take a look at Y and maybe something I hadn't thought of before. So I think those are some great tips, and I really appreciate you coming on to share that with us.
For sure. It's I always enjoy, you know, TPN is one of my favorite outlets to geek out on this industry and helping our fellow pilots advance their careers, and we'll all get through it together, like I said.
Absolutely. Well, I want to be respectful of your time, and Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me today, and hopefully I think people will benefit from some of the ideas you have, and we're all looking forward to the next version of Cockpit to Cockpit and maybe a follow-on book, and so hopefully
come and see.
You take some of this time to
yeah
to help us out with some more content. I think that would be awesome to see. So until then, TPN, if you want to get a hold of Mark, you can obviously go to his website, cockpittocockpit.com, or contact him through TPN on any of our ecosystem. And if you want to get a hold of Adam or myself, heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org, or thepilotnetwork.org is our website as well. So you can get a hold of us lots of different ways. So cool. Until then, we recommend you keep working hard, keep your nose to the grindstone, and keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. Take care, everyone. Fly safe.